Yeah, every day is a challenge to share. Some of our friends, my friends, when we have the opportunity to share, they said, "Mickey, are you nervous when you share?" I say, "Of course I am, all the time." And first is the language, and second, I need to think in English. So this is what I do, and all people that are speaking from Spanish to English, we try not to translate, because if we translate, we got lost. So just repeating what do you said. This is what I do. Repeating what do you said. Hi, how are you? Good. You know, not thinking. This is what we are trying to do. And absolutely, when we are here, we got nervous and the stomach is moving a little bit. If this is not happening, you need to be concerned. Because when we share God's word, we need to be in respect with the Lord, always trying to talk about Him. So today is our Christian hope. Monday was a hard trying to opening, doing the introduction about faith, hope, and love. Second day was a little bit hard too, but was talking about faith. So it was good too to hear that. And yesterday, we talk about fact versus truth. Do you remember? And all what this mean. Yesterday was a really hard, really hard to understand, to keep on outline and understanding. But some people said that they really lied yesterday. So I said, I think, well, today is going to be hard. So let's see what happened. And yeah, and yesterday I mentioned also a little bit about some testimonies, and I promised you to show you some x-ray from Benjamin. And next slide. Do you remember what Kate was sharing? This was the x-ray Monday night. Monday night, and we pray for him on Wednesday night, and we prophesy upon over Benjamin about boldness, be bold, and he said, "I'm bold in the name of Jesus." And Thursday morning, that was the x-ray, so doctors cannot understand. So this is what Benjamin said: "No man can do this miracle." 9 years old last year, now 10. Yes, Benjamin? 10. So if a 9 years old boy understand that this is what God is doing, what we can understand better, because we know. But sometimes when the years is passing, I don't know if we got some, forget some, or we are not really sure what God is doing. We are sure what God is doing. Are you sure what God is doing? Amen? Tell your neighbor, are you sure what God is doing? Are you sure? See? Okay. Next, please, Tony. By the way, I appreciate all what Tony is doing. Not just doing the slides, but I see him every day working with the, Toro. Wow, Toro. I like that word. Yeah, and he's doing too many things, and every day he's here. Also, Eric and Kendam, thank you for all what you are doing, serving the church. And we have the word here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 11 to 22. So I would like, I would appreciate it if somebody can read it for me. And
hola.
Somebody would like to read it? It's on the screen. Neil? Okay. Gracias, Neil.
Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, and I say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, Is your faith also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen? And if Christ not be risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ perish. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. But since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen. This is God's word. Amen? Amen? Okay, good. So we want to say as in pre-introduction that according to this passage, say passage, passage or verse or, yeah, passage you said? Okay, good. So according to this passage and this chapter particularly, we can see the other slide. Let us say the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. So Paul was living different situations, not just the under the problem, the Roman Empire, but with the Greeks for the other side, that they are bringing some knowledge that we talk on Tuesday, reason, what else, you remember? Sense, very good. And the other one, that faith is over all this. So this is what we believe, faith. But the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. When Paul preached of the resurrection in Athens, some of the people actually laughed at the doctrine. So according to Acts chapter 17, 32, so the Greeks look upon the human body as a source of weakness and evil and could not conceive of a body continuing to exist after death. This was the mindset that Paul had to face in writing this chapter. So we say at the beginning of 1 Corinthians that other people were talking and not in a good way about the gospel, about not glorifying Jesus Christ. They want to glorify themselves. But Paul was struggling with different situations and he needed to be clear with the church in Corinth. So it is because of his resurrection that we have something important. What we have because of the resurrection, what we have? Hope. Repeat with me again. Hope. Hallelujah. Amen. What is hope? Why is it important? How can we acquire it? How? Definition. The dictionary defines hope as confidence in accomplishing a thing or in the occurrence of something desired. ¿Comprende? ¿Sí? Muy bien. Muy bien. Next one. So hope is what gives us the strength to go and when everything looks dark. Hope. I don't know if you remember when I mentioned to you about this book, The Dark Night of the Soul. Do you remember? So this person that wrote this book is saying when we are in our dark time, what we need to do? Find in God a solution. So not because we are in the dark night of the soul means that we are evil, that we are bad. It's the time when we need to believe in the promise of God. God promised us, and we need to have hope. So hope is what gives us the strength to go and when everything looks dark, even now in these days around the world, COVID, or whatever situation that people are doing, living. So hope, we said in the New Testament, the word hope is elpis, expectation in the Greek, and means the expectation of something good. Repeat with me. The expectation of something good. Tell your neighbor now. The expectation This is hope. We are expecting something. We are ready for that. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ask your neighbor. Are you ready? The Bible says that faith came for what? Hearing. Yeah, hearing. So we hear. Are you ready? Ask your neighbor again. Are you ready, brother, sister? Introduction. Hope is the perseverance of faith. This is what we say the first day. Hope is the perseverance of faith, the firm expectation that God, who can be trusted, will fulfill all that he has promised. The Bible has promised. What is the promise? What is the main idea of the Bible? The salvation. Good. What God is saying through the Bible, that he will come back. He will return for us. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the second coming? Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Imagine a love without hope. If our love for God does not have the expectation that all things will be for his glory and our good, according to Romans 8:28, then that love becomes, how do you say that word, Chuck? Fickle? Fickle. Okay, good. And momentary. A mere subjective emotion, detached from all commitment and covenant, becoming superficial good wishes and general. Amen. Comprende? Hope is one of the three main elements of Christian character. What is a character? Somebody can define for me the word character. What is character? Who would like to say?
It's what you are.
It's what you are, yeah. Good. What else? Character, what it is? You can Google it if you want. Character is doing the right things always, even if nobody's looking at you. This is character.
That's good character. Yeah.
What?
That's good character.
Yes, good. Yes. Yes. It is joined to faith and love and is opposed to seeing or possessing. Opposed to seeing or possessing. So for in this hope, we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Let's read together this verse. One more, Tony. I think. Yeah. Okay. One, two, three. According Eastern Illustrated Bible Dictionary, hope is an essential and fundamental element of Christian life. So essential, indeed, that like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. This is the essence of Christianity. We talk about faith Tuesday, and we say that it's important what we profess, faith. But hope, what it is, the essence of Christianity. Without hope, no salvation. Without hope, nothing we can do here. What we are doing here, if we don't have any hope. Amen? So, in the whole glory of the Christian vocation is centered, Ephesians 1. Unbelievers are without this hope. What do you think about the unbelievers, that they don't have hope? It's complicated. They don't care, but I care. So we are instrument for God's glory. We need to understand that, I have hope. I don't care others. No. We need to reach other. We need to bring them the salvation, because hope is salvation. This is important. When the unbelievers don't believe, we need to pray and say, Lord Jesus, you can do whatever you want. Let me share one testimony. One more testimony. On the year 2002, around, I was speaking on church Sunday. I was a pastor of Fuente de Vida at that time. And when I finished the message on Sunday morning, one lady came to me and said, Mickey, could you go please to pray for a man that he is suffering with brain cancer in the policeman hospital, that they have a very nice hospital in Chile. I say, okay, I can go. And she said, he's no believer, he's an unbeliever. Okay, so good information. I have the information what I need. So I decide to go next day, and I took with me the assistant pastor, because we always need to go with anybody else. Always. Go with somebody. We got there to the hospital. We asked for this person's name, and they say room 200, whatever. And we opened the door. It was two beds, and in one of these beds was his person, seated on the bed, looking to the wall, like, I don't know what he was looking, thinking. And we saw him, and as soon as we came in, he turned his head and looked at us, and we can see his, mark of the surgery, big, no hair everywhere. We came into the room. It was cold in Chile, winter time. And he was there, and we came, we approached him and asked him, hi, are you Paul? I'm going to say Paul. Say, yes, I am. So I'm Mickey and Victor. I am the pastor of the church. Your friend told us if we can come here, and we are here. And he started crying. He cried. And I don't understand. So I try to understand, but I don't know why he's crying. And he started crying. First tears, and then, ¿cómo se dice llanto? Sollozo. Yeah. Yeah. And I wait a little bit. And I start asking to the Holy Spirit what we need to do now. Because when you are in front of somebody, an unbeliever, you need to ask, Lord, give me wisdom and revelation. As soon as he stopped, he said, for years, neither now, never believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a policeman, he said. We say, yeah, this is what we know. I'm from the south of Chile, near to Osorno, one place in Chile. And for years, I was policeman, and I persecuted the Christian people. I tried to close the church. I give them ticket for noise. And he was crying. For many years, I persecuted them. And now you here, Christian people, coming to pray for me. And we silence a little bit, as you do now. And I ask the Holy Spirit, what I have to do now? And what do you think that we did? We pray for him? What do you think? I ask him again what he said. So do you say that you persecute people? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. do you want to open your heart for Jesus Christ? Immediately, I told him, and he said, yes, yes, I want to open my heart for Jesus Christ. And we start praying for him. I'm telling you the truth. Was called the room, so the Chilean people know that our hospital sometimes don't have the good, I would say, atmosphere. Was cold inside, same that winter, outside. And we start praying. And for a moment that when we start praying and he was repeating, I am a sinner, I repent, and I open my heart for Jesus Christ, I start feeling warm. I start sweating as yesterday. Same. My back was... People that know me know that I'm sweating a lot. And I start sweating and I understand, oh, the sense of the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. We finish praying for him. And then we start praying for healing. As soon as he repents, we start praying for healing, saying, in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing, blah, 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 blah. And we start praying, and he looked at us with the big eyes, and he said, it's warm. It's hot in here, he said. And I say, did you feel it? And he said, yes, I'm sweating, he said. And I replied to him, I'm sweating too. And this means that the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. It means that the Holy Spirit is burning. It's bringing the fire upon you. And he say, amen. He say, amen. So this is the miracle of God. What was the miracle? Faith. From whom? I shared testimony yesterday about the little boy who has the faith. In that situation about mom, mother's baby. And now, who has the faith? A friend. A friend that she said, could you go? Because she knew that was the time. So what I'm trying to say, when we have hope, we understand that something could happen. We are expecting that the Spirit of God can do something. This is what when the young guy came with the loaf and fishes and say, I don't know if this is enough for everybody, but I have this. Jesus Christ, could you do something with this? Could you feed the people? Same attitude, same action. I cannot do it, but if you can do it, do it. Amen? How many say amen? So we see how people that they don't believe could grow the hope. Because somebody, he here probably, and those is opportunity that he's trying to close the church, he closed the love. I mean, he hear or he feel the love of God, even he rejected. In Chile, you need to understand, in the Pentecostal, but you know that I'm not Pentecostal anymore. You know it? What I am? Menocostal. Good. So in the Pentecostal background, people are two and two on a line, two here, two there. So big line, and they are singing in a Pentecostal. I don't know if you don't understand probably here, or is some people here, Chuck, that do it? No, in Chile, so two and two like a line. Repeating verses of the Bible, because love got the world, blah, blah. And we stop in one corner, and we need to speak. This was my first pulpit. When I was around 12 years old, they say, Mickey, share. And I say, what I can share? And I remember just one verse. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come, blah, blah. And that was my first, and I say, this is enough, so... And I come back to my line. When we speak hope to others, people can receive this word of God. One more testimony. I was 19 years old, and all the youth group went to a how to say, Irvine and the other, urban place and outside,
rural
place, to speak, to share with people, and they were 1 week, and I just came Friday night with them. And Saturday morning, the pastor said, early in the morning, we are going after that hill, and we want to speak. Okay. So next day, early in the morning, we walk two by two, and the pastor say, after that hill, it was 2 hours and no hill. I don't see any hill. And I asked my cousins that they were there, so he's okay. Yeah, just walk. We are in the middle of the way. So 2 more hours to speak in the rural. You see, imagine, nobody there. So we stop in a little bit hill, on the half of the hill, and the pastor stops, say, okay, now we want to start the service. The Chilean people can understand what I'm saying. Okay, let's start the service. Brother Mickey, that you came yesterday, you need to speak. Yeah, I laugh a little bit. I saw my friend say, he's kidding. Saying, no, he's not kidding. So just speak. And I started speaking, and it was like a 10 minutes, and I got courage, and I was speaking, wow, whatever. They explained me later that in this part of the hill is a propagation of voice. And this reminds me another story that somebody in Chile shared with me, that they live the same situation in another part of the country. And they live the same situation because it's normal in the rural churches in Chile that people are speaking everywhere because the echo, boop, propagation. And one, this brother was speaking in the middle of nowhere. And one moment he saw some horses and a couple of cows over there. And he said, I'm telling you, horse, repent in the name of Jesus. Repent. You need salvation, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't know why he said that. At the end of the service, when we went to the service at church, some people come at front to receive Jesus. And one brother came at front and he gave his testimony crying. And he said, I was in the middle of nowhere without hope. I know that Jesus Christ is real. And I was part of the church when I was a child, he said. I was there. And in one moment, somebody told me, my name is Manuel, he said. But they call me horse because I'm wild. And for many years, I tried to do my own stuff. But somebody say to you, I'm telling you, horse, it's now the time and repent in the name of Jesus. And this is what I'm here. This is what he said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know how we can affect others through this. Historical proof. I'm not sure if I can finish all what I have. Proof of the believer's resurrection. The Corinthians did not doubt the resurrection of Christ, so Paul began his argument for the resurrection of the human body. No one can doubt this, for it is a historical fact proven by the gospel message, the testimony of witness, and Paul's own conversion. Without resurrection, there is no salvation, for a dead Savior cannot save anyone. If Christ has a glorified body in heaven, why won't believers have one too? This is another aspect of the believer's union with Christ. In hope, we say in faith, this is toward God. In hope is toward brothers and from God to us. This is not because I am so good. This is because God is so good. He's given it to me, the hope. Okay? Next one, please. Personal proof, verses 12 to 19. Paul preached the gospel to them. They believe and their lives were transformed. How many of you were transformed by God's grace? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Next one. So doctrinal proof. According to verses 20 to 28, here Paul analyzed the doctrine of the two Adams. How do you say? Adams. Also in Romans 5. It was through the first Adam that sin entered the world. Yes? But through the last Adam, Christ, dead was? Death was? Tell your neighbor. Death was? When Christ comes, the dead in Christ will be raised. Jesus will finally put all things under his feet. Joshua 1:9. If I don't, all what is under your feet will be yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Next one. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance and character, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been put out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? We all have the Holy Spirit. As soon as we say, Lord Jesus, come to my life, the Holy Spirit is coming, and he's sealed. It's like a seal. This is what the Bible said. What I'm learning about this, and patience, proof, the same word translated, proof, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 13, Philippians chapter 2, that is an experimental evidence that we have believed by grace. Having my time in the seminary the last 2 years, last year my wife asked to me, or this year was, okay, you don't know what I'm saying. She asked me, Mickey, what do you gain with studying in the seminary? And she's here, I cannot lie. I said, what I gain is the intimacy with God. I can read. I have read books. I don't know how many books, I told you. I make a shelf for me big, and it's full, and other books everywhere. My kids say, my son say, hey, Daddy, you have your books here. I say, well, I'm sorry. This is my house. And plus what we have in Kindle. So Mel know about it. Chuck know about this. What I gain? Intimacy with God. Because more that you read, more that you study, more you know him. More that you read, more that you need to pray. Sometimes 2 a.m., 3 a.m., finishing my assignments, I take a break and I say, Lord, this is not because I want to have 100%. Sometimes I won't. This is because I want to know more of you. And I want what I'm doing, this could be help for others, helpful for others. And this is what we need to think. So helping others, thinking in others, not just in you. So Philip Yancey and Richard Foster and their books about prayer, they said, when you get focused on prayer in someone else, it's good. Because when you are thinking just in you, it's not really good. When you are praying for others, God is doing for you what you are praying for others. And we are seeing that reality. How many believe that? How many say amen? In Espanol, amen. How many say in Espanol, aleluya? Tell your neighbor, I know Spanish now. Tell her or him, aleluya. And patience proof, the same word translated, we said, experiment evidence that we have believing by grace, and proof, hope, that is the hope of the glory of God, prepared for us. Thus we have hope in two distinct sense, and in two successive phases of the Christian life. Notice here that say in two distinct sense. We have our sense. Paul is speaking about the spiritual sense that we need to be aware or awake, understanding what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say. Number one, immediately after believing, together with the realization of peace and permanent access to God. Number two, after the reality of this faith has been tested, particularly by enduring the trials sent to test it. What do you understand about this? You comprende? Hope. Hope is just affirm what we believe. We gain hope by first directing our gaze there to the Lamb of God, and then by looking at ourselves transformed by the look to Jesus. Look to God. And when we see ourselves transformed by that look to Jesus, in the first case, the mind works, as they say, objectively. In the other, subjectively, the one is, as theologians say, the assurance of faith. The other, the conviction of the sense. The assurance of faith. And the other, the conviction of the sense. We say that hope is conviction. And hope is the perseverance of faith. Pursue the faith. When you pursue the faith, you gain hope. How many are in agreement with me? See? Amen. Next one. And hope does not shame. For the love of God, not our love to God, as the Romanist and some Protestant expositor interpreted, following some of the Father, but it is God's love to us, as most expositors agree, is poured out copiously, like yesterday or this morning. Rain. When we receive this feeling, when we receive this, we understand that hope does not shame. Hope is truth. It's the reality about what we don't see. Same that faith. They are linked. We say yesterday that faith is linked with healing. But hope is linked with faith too. And love. This is what Paul was saying at the beginning. Next one, please. In addition to peace and access to the presence of God, grace. It is as the apostle had said, all together, how can we? What do you feel when you are reading this verse? This morning, early in the morning, I was crying. While I was reading, so it's plenty verses that I could put, and I need to take out some of them because it's too much. They can overwhelm you, confirming you what is hope. This leads the apostle to expand on the amazing character of that love. How many of you are letting God to work in your character? I'm still working on it. He is working, and I'm saying, Lord, work it. Work in my life. I need to be better. What is hope? Really, what we gain in addition to peace, in access to the presence of God's grace, our justification being declared righteous in Christ also provide us with the blessing of the hope of the glory of God. Tell your neighbor, Amen. Amen. Are you here? Ask him. Tell him. Tell her. Are you here? Say, yes, we are here. Next one. Because we're in Christ, what do we have? The hope of one day seeing the Lord face to face in all his refulgence. Glory of being glorified ourselves to experience him in the blessedness for which we were created. We said at the beginning that the Greeks are trying to influence the church in Corinth, but they believe that Jesus Christ were resurrected. They really believe that. But Paul was encouraging them to keep going, to keep working on it, because the days are hard, difficult days. We were talking yesterday and Tuesday about our next generation, our kids. Are you concerned about them? Are you concerned about next days? We are. I told you probably first day, I don't have too many things to give them when if the Lord wants to take me home one day. I don't have too many things to give them, but the only one good thing that I have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the hope that they need to understand that this hope is coming when you receive Jesus Christ. It's in you. What is hope in fact? Let us not misunderstand what the apostle means by the word hope. We often use the term hope to refer to something that may or may not happen, but Scripture regards hope as something certain. Amen? Understand that we have hope in this way. Number two, hope is related to what we do not yet see, according to Romans, but that does not make what we hope for any less real than if we could see it right now. Number three, on this side of eternity, we do not see or experience the full glory of God, but this glory is certain. How many believe that? Hallelujah. How many say hallelujah? Hallelujah. It is reality. It's so certain that it deserves as an anchor for our souls when this is where I am. My feet on the right way, on the rock, on Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't understand what we are reading. Sometimes we don't understand what we are teaching to our kids. But if you are teaching them about God's glory, about the hope, about faith, about love, you are in a good way. Even if now some of your kids are not here in the church, and you are sometimes thinking and asking yourself what I did wrong, I'm going to tell you, you did not anything wrong. If you teach them the gospel, if you teach them the God's word, they will return one day. And this is my prayer. And this is our prayer. So, but my son, my daughter is not in God now. She's living with someone, single. And you feel ashamed. I understand. Or my son, whatever. But don't forget that we have hope in Jesus Christ. When he turned 30, he said to his father, give me the part of the inheritance that is belong to me. He was desiring his father the dead. But what his father said, no, what are you doing? I teach you when you were a child. I send you to the Sunday school. I send you to the good schools. And you never understand. He said, okay, go, because the trust, his hope was in God. And he knew that one day he will return. He was expecting hope for these people that is coming, his son. The Bible said when he saw him from far, he recognized him. He saw him and he ran into him, because the law can kill him because what he did to his father. So when he ran, exposing probably all his nature, running, he gave a hug to him. What does this mean? It's a public confession that forgiveness. When he give the hug to him, he say, anybody, don't touch him. Nobody has right to hurt him because I forgive him because what he did to me. The ring, the shoes, all has some symbols. All is important in the God's kingdom. We are finishing. The hope is real. This hope is of final salvation is so certain that we rejoice in it today, knowing that it will never put us to shame. We need not fear about our hope, and let us not be ashamed of the confidence we have in it. We must never doubt that the final day will come. We can rejoice now, knowing that we will rejoice then. Because of this hope, we also rejoice in the suffering. This seems strange. Who in the right mind rejoices in feeling pain? But Paul is not telling us to rejoice in the pain of tribulation per se. Instead, expanding of his point in Romans chapter 5, Paul said that we rejoice in our suffering because of what they produce in us. When we are living situation, difficult situation, we grow. You have two choices. Get bitterness or rejoice in him. Conclusion. Moreover, we are convinced that the hope will not put us to shame because God has poured out his own love into our hearts by his Spirit. He convinced us of his love for us, and being convinced of his love for us, we love him in turn, persevering in faith. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said that God may be loved. The love of God is poured into our hearts, not by free choice, whose spring is in ourselves, but by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, hope means a continual expectation of eternal life. It does not mean that we must leave this world as it is. If we read history, we will see that the Christians who did the most for this world were those who thought the most of the other. This is what the apostle did. This is what the early church did for us. Don't forget that the enemy everywhere, anytime, was trying to take the church for other ways. Sometimes we are talking with Kevin Hale, about history, and we rejoice each other talking about how was this. In the first century, the agnosticism tried to come into the church, and the early fathers, they reject Tertullian, Origen. They say, no, this is the right, this is what the apostles said, this is what the Bible said. Second century, Marcion tried to bring more agnosticism into the church, and the early church fathers say, no, they died for this. 3rd century. Constantine? First Christian emperor or governor. He brings some light. We see the story. 700, 800, 900, 1500. We talk about it when Martin Luther published his 95 theses on the church. He's not trying to split the church. He's trying that the church take the right way. Unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church took another way. And since that time, we are calling Protestant. But always somebody is fighting for other. Are you ready to fight for another person? Are you ready to give your life for others? You know why? Because we have hope and they none. The reason why the father of family works is because he has the hope that his children will be able to achieve things that he never could in his own life. As long as there is hope, there is a chance for something better. As long as there is hope, there is a confidence, because hope is a moving force which gives meaning to life. Again, the word hope is elpis in the Greek and means the expectation of something good. And this good is coming from God to us. And we can share to others. Question. Without hope, can man really live? Could he exist? I know that at noon is the lunchtime, but I would like, if you can close your eyes for a moment, and we want to take 10 more minutes. Close your eyes. We want to take just 10 minutes. And we want to divide of people, 5 or 6. And we want to pray for them. Each other. Because there is hope. Close your eyes for a moment and say, Lord Jesus, thanks for you, for what you did, for your death and resurrection. Because this is what matters here, now, today. Your death and resurrection has given us faith to believe and hope to expect for something. And we are expecting your second coming. And before that, we want to be instruments of blessings to others. Sometimes we don't know what my brother, my neighbor is dealing with, what is the suffering, what is the tribulation that they have. And we are not realizing that it's just not me in this world. It's too many others. We give thank you, Lord, for the people that are going to other places, for the Cho Waters that are in Virginia, for Salma, for Bradley Horst, Florencia, Mauricio, Chileans, and too many others. Stephanie in Greece. And whatever they are, the people are seeing in them hope. Many people is giving life to Jesus because of them, their testimony. And this is what we need to think. All what you did by love. All what you did in ransom for many. Because we were immersed in sins. But through Jesus Christ, we have hope and we have the certain and the conviction and the expectation that something is coming. And we want to share with others and we want to pray for others too. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you, take just 10 minutes and try to make groups of people that you don't know, okay? Can we do it? Well, I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, better, okay. No? They can do it? Okay, so Mel, one group here, Chuck, another group, Neil, another group, Kevin, another group, Billy, another group over there, and people join them. Different people that you don't know them, try to join these people. And over there, yeah, Kevin, yeah, right there. Please join someone and make questions. What do you need me to pray for you? Yes, Billy's there, so join him. And Mark, probably you can go that way too. And Neil is here. Yeah, lift your hands. So join them and take 10 minutes. Ask them, what do you need me to pray for? Chuck is here, so come here with Chuck. How many? Connie? Yeah. Laura? Thank you. And Kevin is, yes, is with Carl, Faith, and Neil is with Jenny, okay, Tammy and Jean, you can be there, yeah, that's fine. And Jesenia, yeah, join your father, whatever, so. And the kids too, they're welcome. Ask them, what do you need me to pray for? What is your need? Was long? Okay. I tried to run.
The Chilean culture is probably different, but our culture tries to stop God when we think it's time.
Okay.
We shouldn't.
Yeah. You know?